First of all, I'd like to welcome those that are visiting this morning. We're glad that you're here and ask you to come back whenever you have a chance to worship with us. A little background on this lesson. Back in April, when Therese and I were down in Florida visiting Jared and Becca, one of the men that works in the congregation at South Bumby in Orlando, Florida, his name is Ken Chapman. He preached this lesson, and immediately after, I went up to him and I said, Ken, I'm going to plagiarize your lesson. But fortunately for all of us, there are actually some points that he didn't put in his lesson that I have today. So we're going to be looking at some things that he brought up and some things that I've added. And I'm going to talk about heart disease. Now, if I told you that I had a severe pain in my chest and tingling in my arms, you would say that I had symptoms of a heart problem. And I think we all know that. You know, there's a lot of health-conscious people in the world right now, and they're concerned about everyone's health, everyone who wants to live forever, it seems. But we know then that there is a greater problem. It's with the heart itself, because you've got these symptoms. And we want to take care of the problem. You know, we have the symptoms, but we need to take care of the problem. So we go to the doctor to get treatment to heal the heart. We want to heal the physical heart. And spiritually, we can see symptoms also of a heart disease. We can go to one who can help us with the problems of a spiritual heart disease, and that's Jesus. Let's look at Matthew chapter 11. Verse very familiar to all of us. Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When we have these problems with our heart, when we have these symptoms, we can go to Jesus. We can get the rest from Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, Hebrews 5, 9. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. So we can look to Jesus. Up in chapter 4, beginning in verse 14. Seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. If we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So Jesus is the one we look to help us to overcome these problems of the heart. So spiritually, we can look at the fruit we bear to see the condition of the heart. Let's look at Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 43. Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 43. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So as you look at this, we're going to look at this passage a couple times or make mention of it. But as we look at the fact that the heart will show where we really are in our lives, we can tell by our actions what our heart is. Our actions can give away our heart. James chapter 2 and verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? So our heart We'll tell what our heart is by our actions. We'll know what is going on. We'll need to address the problem, not just treat the symptoms. So if there's a problem with the heart, we need to address the problem. Some people try to just cover the symptoms. You know, sometimes you have a cold or something and you'll take medication. It kind of helps you through, but it's really not taking care of the problem. It's just masking the symptoms. So let's look at some symptoms of a heart problem. First of all, our attendance. When the elders have set the times to worship God and to study His will. So if there's a problem with the heart there, we can see the symptoms. Are we making the right judgments? Are we considering, you know, is our attendance as it ought to be? And we need to be honest with ourselves. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So part of the fruit of being born again is to love the brethren. So if we say we love the brethren and we love God and we love to worship God and be with the brethren worshiping God, it's inconsistent to say that I love you, but I don't want to worship God with you. It doesn't make any sense. That's a symptom of a heart problem. We should see the necessity of being with each other to encourage each other. There's a need there. Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. How can we encourage someone when they are not here? Or how can you encourage someone when you're not here? It's not possible. But this is just a symptom of a heart problem. Symptoms of a greater problem are putting outside interests above serving God. And that's what is the problem a lot of time with the symptom of a heart problem is there's things that are more important than serving God. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6:19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up treasures for yourselves in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there where your heart will also be. Some people, their heart is in a fishing boat on Sundays. Now, it's just, you know, most times people talk about fishing, but there are other things that we talk about that seem to be more important to people than being with God and worshiping God and being with a brother and worshiping God. Let's look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, beginning. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Now, when we look at this, we think, well, somebody is putting their parents actually above God in this situation. And if you think about that, that when you put something that is not even your parents above serving God, I think to me that's even worse. You know, it's not that it's good that you're putting your parents above, but we can see that going to another extreme. Let's look at Psalm, the 84th Psalm. The 84th Psalm, beginning in verse 1. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow has a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. And dropping down to verse 10, for day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked, of wickedness. These are Old Testament verses, but this is the attitude that one should have, their heart should have, in wanting to serve God and worship God. We should want to be together to worship God. The 111th Psalm and verse 1. Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. So you need to ask yourself, do you have the symptoms of a heart problem? Another symptom of heart problem may be how we dress ourselves. You know, there is proper dress for both men and women. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 3. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Also, 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning verse 8. I desire, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. Let a woman learn in silence with all submission, and do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. Now, men also need to dress properly, professing godliness with good works. It's just not for the women here. Men need to be dressing properly. And the heart is addressed. It says here, back in 1 Peter, it says, let be the hidden person of the heart. It's got to do with the heart. Remember back in Luke 6:45, out of the heart the mouth speaks. Well, we can say out of the abundance of the heart the body is adorned. Look at the fact that our dress actually tells people how we feel towards God, what our heart is towards God. If we start with the heart, the outside will take care of itself. Do people, when they see how we dress, see someone professing godliness or someone blending in with the world? It's easy to blend in with the world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So we ask the question, is there a problem with the heart? The symptom shown how we dress? Another thing we can look at is our prayers. Our prayer life. So this is not only thinking about thanking God for our meals and praying at bedtime, but genuine prayers at times that are not specific. Now, last Wednesday night, we had a prayer service. And as we prayed for many, many, many things, there were probably many, many more things that we could have prayed about. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. God is there. He wants us to pray to Him. God cares for us. It's an expression of our faith to show that we understand that God can hear and wants to answer our prayers. Early in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. For he would love life and see good days. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. But sometimes we fail to use this avenue to pray to God. Maybe it's just a symptom of our heart. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Philippians 4, 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Does this symptom of a heart problem show our lack of trust in God because we're not praying to God? James 1, 6. James 1 and verse 6. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. So, we need to ask, because we don't pray to God as often as we should, and we're all guilty of it, I know. Is this a symptom of a heart problem? What about our time spent in studying God's Word? Ryan read the first psalm. In the first verse of the first psalm, blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Now, we can all find Bibles in bookstores, obviously, and now even on electronic devices. I do have some electronic devices at home, by the way, that I use. I don't have a cell phone, but I do have a Kindle that you can get Bibles on, and well, actually, it's Teresa's Kindle, and of course, my computer. So there's no excuse not to have a Bible. But remember that God is speaking to us through His Son. We have the Scriptures. In Hebrews chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom He also made the worlds. Not only our personal study, but getting back to a point about coming to worship, is when the church is gathered to study God's will and edify one another. Okay, if we're not here because of our symptom of our heart problem, we're not here to study God's Word. These are opportunities that are missed. In Matthew chapter 25, the scene of the Day of Judgment, Matthew chapter 25, verse 36. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? So on the Day of Judgment, Jesus could add, did you read? Did you study my word to find out how to please me in this life? Things we need to consider. So, is the symptom of a heart problem a lack of studying God's word? Another symptom of a heart problem may be our lack in effort in teaching the lost. On Wednesday night, we prayed about reaching the lost. But that depends on us. That depends on us to teach those that are around us, our friends and our neighbors. This includes brethren who have gone back into the world and strengthening those who are weak and even encouraging the strong. So we need to be teaching everyone. Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse 37. Jesus said, "You shall love your Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." It says here, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Are we showing love if we're lacking in this area? If our heart is right, we want to teach those that are lost. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. "And these things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." We all miss opportunities. But I think sometimes in our mind, if we don't preach an entire sermon to someone, we think we failed. But that's not true. That's not true. We need to be spreading the word. We need to be planting the seed. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2. "For I'm determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Whenever we're teaching anything from the New Testament or even about the Old Testament prophecies about Jesus, we're preaching Christ and Him crucified. We're not failing. Sometimes we're only given a few minutes. Let's use those minutes. Years back, one fellow I was trying to work with at work, he told me he'd give me one break, which was 10 minutes. Guess what? I used those 10 minutes. And later on, he moved to Springfield, Missouri. And actually, Tim Glover was there at the time. I had Tim go visit with him, and nothing ever came of it. But I used the 10 minutes, and Tim used whatever time it took for him to go over there. So we cannot pass up, you know, even if somebody gives you 1 minute, use it to the best of your ability. A healthy heart will see the need to work with restoring erring brethren. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself lest you also be tempted." And James chapter 5, verse 19. "Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." We will see the need to help those who are struggling with their faith. We'll see it. And a healthy heart will understand that they can turn someone back. They can help someone, help them to go back to Jesus, to get the medicine they need to once again have a healthy heart. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 12. "Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet so that you, what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Jesus, the great healer, is out there. So one last check of the heart is looking after the needs of others. James 1 in verse 27. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep one unspotted from the world. Now, this verse is more than just a visiting, but it's the word visit here kind of lends to the fact that you're attending to the needs of the individual you're working with. 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. 1 John 3, beginning in verse 10. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that you should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. Who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. We also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. In verse 17, we can see the symptom of a heart problem by shutting up our heart from him who has need. There's the symptom. We're not helping our brother. But you know what? Jesus has the solution when symptoms of a heart disease show up. Let's look at Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verse 14. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, that I should heal them. When we see God's word, and we study it, and we understand what we need to do, when we go to Jesus, when we obey his will, he will heal us. He will cleanse us from our sins. Matthew chapter 23, verse 25. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, and the outside of them may be made clean also. You need to change. You need to change your heart. You need to purify your heart. Well, the answer really is not to force ourselves to do these things. You know, some people kind of force themselves. Well, sometimes a little prodding doesn't hurt. But we need to heal the heart by cleansing the inside. We already looked at Matthew chapter 22, but let's go back there. And verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that they had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked a question, testing him, saying, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment? And then we talked about to love the Lord your God with all your heart, and also love your neighbor as yourselves. Well, these things are all matters of the heart. We need to grow in love for God and for one another. And when we change, the fruit will be obvious. When we've taken care of the heart problem, when we've overcome the heart problem, we've we saw the symptoms, we know there's a problem, we take care of it. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 8. Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do things that people will see that you've repented. Not that we're doing it to show off or to get praise from men, but people will see when you've repented. I remember when I first obeyed the gospel, boss called me over the loudspeaker, asked me something on the phone, and it was something that one of the other workers knew I probably wasn't too pleased with doing, and I just hung the phone up. And he looked at me and was like, there was nothing that came out of my mouth that normally would have come out of it. Well, because I had repented. I had changed. So, when the heart's right, the outside will change, the symptoms, they'll go away because the heart problem is no longer there. But we need to be honest with ourselves, and especially we need to be honest with God. Let's take a check of our spiritual hearts to make sure all is well. Now, on Wednesday, I'm having my yearly physical, and since the last time I've seen my doctor, I've retired, and so he's going to ask me, what are you doing? And I've made sure that I'm doing something because I knew he's going to ask that question. So I've been biking 3-5 minutes a day. So because I want to make sure that everything's going well because he's going to be worried about my heart. And we all need to be worried about our spiritual hearts. Now, if there's some symptoms that you've seen today that you have a heart, you may have a heart problem, you may have heart disease, you can take care of them. If you've never obeyed the gospel, remember Jesus back in Matthew chapter 11, he said, come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus wants you to come to him. He wants to heal you. He wants to cleanse you from your past sin. But first of all, you need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You need to confess Jesus before men. You need to repent of all your past sins. And then you need to have your sins washed away in baptism, so you can walk in newness of life and serve God faithfully all the days of your life. So on the last day, you'll hear those words from Jesus, well done, good and faithful servant. So if you have a heart problem today, if you have some symptoms of a heart problem, you can make that right. If you've obeyed the gospel and gone back into the world, you've got some symptoms again of a heart problem, you can make those things right. Especially if those are of public nature. We'll pray for you and with you. Come now as we stand and as we sing.